His wonderful promises. So you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. No one shall suffer miscarriage or be barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days. What wonderful promises. No barrenness, no miscarriages, no female problems, no sickness, a guaranteed full lifespan. Who wouldn't want that? But brothers and sisters, don't detach it from the context. It's only for those who break totally with the occult in every form. Let me give you a very simple example. Years back, I was in a typical charismatic house prayer meeting. I found myself next to a young man who was actually, I discovered later, from a Catholic background. And I was just talking to him. I said, "Are you baptized in the Holy Spirit?" And he said, "Yes, but." Now, when anybody says "yes, but" to that question, you know what the "but" is, don't you? "But I don't speak in tongues." So I said, "Another trunkless elephant." I didn't discuss this with him, and I had no plan. I just said, "Did you ever go to a fortune teller?" "Oh," he said, "yes, once when I was a boy of about 15. But I just did it as a joke. I didn't believe in it." But I said, "You did go." He said, "Yes." I said, "Would you be willing to acknowledge to God that that was a sin and ask him to forgive you and release you from its consequences?" Well, I don't think he was impressed by my arguments, but more or less just to get me off his back, he said, "Okay." So I led him in a little simple prayer. "Lord, I confess that I went to a fortune teller. I should not have done it. I realize it was a sin. I ask you to forgive me and release me from its consequences in Jesus' name." Then I put my hand on him and prayed for him, and he spoke fluently in tongues. See, that was the invisible barrier. It's not just a barrier to the gifts of the Spirit, it's a barrier to healing. So tonight, if you will cooperate, and I can't do anything against your will, not even God can do anything against your will, if you will cooperate, we will renounce all occult involvement. All right? Are you ready? Now, I would guess that will cover 50% of the people in this auditorium. That would be my estimate. I may be wrong, but this is so subtle today. There are so many different ways. You can go into a souvenir shop and pick up some little idol and take it home as a little ornament. I think I have to tell you one other story, because I'm not sure that you're convinced how serious this is. Some years back in the United States, I ministered to a lady who was a lady judge. She was a member of the Supreme Court of the state of Virginia. She had had some kind of intestinal problem for 10 years. She'd had surgery. She was never free from pain. And I was ministering to people this was a Methodist church, and I was putting the people in the chair and praying for them as I sometimes do. And she was standing there, and God's power was coming on them. And I said to her, "Are you ready?" She said, "No, I don't think so." So I said, "Well, when you're ready, let me know." About 10 minutes later, she said, "I think I'm ready." So I sat her in the chair, held her legs. One leg was short, grew out, and God's power zapped her. And I mean, she was out of this world for 45 minutes. She told me this personally. When she came to, for the first time in 10 years, she was free of pain. Later, she discovered this. When they'd operated on her surgically on her intestines, they'd put metal clips in to hold things in place. When God healed her, he removed the clips. There was no further evidence of clips. Well, after that, her lady friend in some competition, won a free trip to Mexico for both of them. So they went down to Mexico for a vacation, came back, and the friend phoned my wife and me, desperate. She said, "This lady has just tried to commit suicide. Come over and help us." So we went over post-haste, and we started to talk to them. Apparently nothing had changed. I said, "You've been down to Mexico?" And they said, "Yes." I said, "Did you bring any souvenirs back with you?" And this lady said, "Yes, I brought one circular image." I said, "What was an image of?" "The sun god." I said, "That's your problem. You're under a curse. Because you've brought an accursed thing into your home. And the Bible says if you bring an accursed thing into your home, you are accursed like the thing." She was a woman of action. She got up, went down into the basement, broke it in small pieces, and put it in the rubbish bin. That was the end of that. She never had another problem. But it nearly cost her her life. That's how real this is. See, God has an intense hatred of idolatry. I don't think we appreciate how the Lord hates idolatry. So, we're going to give you an opportunity. If you have ever been involved in the occult, and you've never dealt with it in your life. If you've dealt with it, you're free, that's all right. But if you've never dealt with it, we're going to give you this opportunity now. We're going to let the Holy Spirit rest upon us for a moment and speak. He's got a very wonderful memory. He can take you back 20 years to something that happened. Now I'm going to help you. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. But it must be on the basis of your own acknowledgement. I want you to say these words. "Lord, if I've ever been involved in the occult, even ignorantly, whatever it was, I confess it as a sin, and I renounce it. I ask you to forgive me, and I commit myself now that never again will I be involved with those things. Forgive me, Lord, and release me from their influence right now in the name of Jesus." Amen. All right. Very closely connected with that, in the same chapter of Exodus 23, verse 32, Exodus 23:32, we come to another related problem. "You shall make no covenant with them, nor with their gods." It is possible for people to enter into some kind of a covenant with people who have false gods. And if they do that, you become involved in the guilt of those people and their false gods. Now, this may seem remote and abstract to you, but I'm going to specify one particular common case. Some of you may be offended, but I say this in love because I know it to be true. There is a very common covenant group, a secret society that prevails throughout the English-speaking world, which is Freemasonry. And if you are involved in Freemasonry, you are under a curse. Not only you, but your family and your descendants. And I speak this from experience. Ruth and I have encountered this. We've dealt with it. We've come to the root of it. Freemasonry is a false religious system, whatever you may say. It's not a secret. That's bluff. The main ceremonies of Freemasonry are known and have been published by people who are not Freemasons. To take simply one example, the Royal Arch degree acknowledges a god